Good evening. Thankful to be your speaker for a little bit tonight. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to provide it for me to stand before you and present the thoughts that I've prepared about my topic. It's definitely great to be back in Sulphur. You know, the meeting scene was definitely scarce for a while, but I'm glad that we are back meeting together, glad that we are able to worship with one another in spirit and in truth. And again, just thankful to stand before you tonight. I pray that the information that I share with you is beneficial in some way and that you can grow as a Christian by the things that we learn together. We're going to hear many voices in this world today. You're going to hear voices from your parents. You're going to hear voices from your friends. You're going to hear your own voice. You're going to hear voices from the world. So you're going to have many opinions, many values, many beliefs thrown at you. It's our job as Christians to filter those voices. I was watching something on YouTube because when I thought about filtering the voices that we hear, I thought about the people who go down to stream and they search for gold. Well, I learned a little bit in that little time that I studied. They take what's called the sluice, and it almost looks like a cheese grater. So they put that in a stream with running water, and then they scoop their material, which their material is what contains the gold. They scoop their material and they drop a little bit in the water, and the water flowing from the stream is able to take what's not gold, filter it on through, and then the particles that are more heavy, they drop into the sluice. Well, once they have done that enough and they have gathered enough particles in that sluice, they can pick it up and then take the inside out, wring it out, and then look for the gold that they have found. They filter through. They don't just take all the dirt and all the leaves and all the rubble that they found because they are searching for something specific. They are looking for gold. Well, us as Christians, we should be searching for something specific. We should be looking for the voice of Jesus, for God's voice, because that's ultimately what we need to hear. Again, with so many voices in this world today, if we weren't able to identify and hear the voice of Jesus, we would be in trouble. This passage that we're going to look at for a little bit this evening is powerful. It's straight to the point and it's very simple. It's found in John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Do you hear the voice of God? Are you his sheep? If you are his sheep and you are not hearing the voice of God, then you must ask yourself, why? The voice of God is what you need to make it in this world. The voice of God is going to lead you. It's going to guide you. It's going to direct you. But if you don't hear it, then you are lost. You see, as a man, which, you know, a lot of the men in the audience, I'm sure you guys can relate to me. I don't think I'm the only one who has selective hearing. And I try to hone in and I try to focus from time to time. But it still seems like I can only hear bits and pieces of what's going on. You know, my wife would be talking to me in the kitchen. She can have a good conversation with me for 5 minutes. And then a minute or so, I catch myself zoning out. And I'm not sure exactly what she just said. So I'll say, "Yes, honey, yes, yes." Now, if she knows that, she might ask me, you know, during the conversation, "Are you listening?" But we have selective hearing. You know, we struggle with hearing today. I remember being in class, and if it was something that I didn't really enjoy, something that I didn't really want to know about, I really didn't pay too much attention to what the instructor was saying. We have distractions in this world today that make it more difficult for us to hear. Well, that's not just applied when we think about the physical things that we hear in this life, but that's also applied spiritually. Maybe we read our Bible, but we have other things on our mind, or maybe we open up the scriptures and then we get sleepy, or maybe we, you know, go to services, but then we are sleeping in services, so we really don't listen to what the preacher is teaching. But there are all different types of things in this world that are going to try to distract us, try to take our attention away from the voice of God. And that's what the enemy wants. You see, the enemy talks to us as well. The enemy, of course, is Satan. He plants seeds in our mind all the time. Me being a fairly new Christian, I obeyed the gospel in 2013, so I lived in the world for quite a long time in my life. And when I was in the world, I could not hear the voice of God. I could only hear the voice of the world. So the world would tell me to do this and do that, and I would listen and say, "Okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do." My friends who were in the world would tell me to do this and do that, and I would think, "Okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do." Well, all that time, my mind would be conditioned to the things of the world. So when I obeyed the gospel, my mind still was in the world. So now I had two minds in my head almost. I had a mind that was saying, Marcus, this is what we used to do, and this is what's nice, and this is what's pleasing. And I had the voice of God saying, this is how you obey me, this is how you please me, this is what you want to do. That was great. The enemy wants to plant those doubts, seeds of doubt in your mind. The enemy wants you to get you to understand that maybe you don't know the word of God as you ought to. Or maybe you don't, maybe you think you do, but you just probably don't have it down. That's what he did in the garden. At the very beginning, we see this in Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast on the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? So he asked the woman. And then she said, well, to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat nor touch it, lest you die. Now she thought she knew the word of God, but obviously she didn't, because God didn't say, you can't touch it. He said, don't eat from it. But the day that you eat from it, you will die. You see, if we fully don't know the word of God, we can't win the battle. There's no way that we can win, because God's word is simple, it's straight to the point, and that's why I love it so much. When I met Jimmy Cading, it was so beautiful because he just showed me, thus says the Lord. The scriptures were there, they were black and white. I could go to them, I could read them, I could study them. I know that they were directly the words of God. God's word aren't meant there to, for us, for him to confuse us. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he's not the author of confusion. God's word isn't like the calculus class that I took when I was sitting there and scratching my head as I was trying to figure out what the instructor was trying to teach me. No, it's simple. When we read it and we study, we will identify what God wants us to do. And we don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We appreciate his word just the way that he delivered it to us, and we obey it. In verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3, it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. See, the serpent, the enemy, the devil, he was distorting the word of God from the beginning, and he's still trying to distort the word of God today. He added one word to what God had said, and it was the word not. So she began to think, I wonder if God really said that. Did God really say that I won't die? I mean, she knew what he had said. You're going to die when you eat of this fruit. She said, the serpent said, well, I'm not going to die, so maybe I really won't die. Maybe God was lying. The question is, does God lie? I think the answer is no. We all know that God is not a liar. God stands in truth. The enemy, the Satan, the devil, he is a liar. The scripture tells us when he's speaking a lie. Now, if we can't distinguish the voice, the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of Jesus, then of course, we're going to be doomed. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to fall into sin, just like Eve did. And of course, Eve fell into sin, and she gave it to her husband, and her husband ate, and they both fell into sin. So how do we hear the voice of God? Where Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, has in his last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom he also made the worlds. So the voice of God is found directly in the scriptures. We don't have to pray for God to speak to us audibly, directly to us, to think that's the only way to hear the word of God, because it's not. It's found in the scriptures. Everything that's in the Bible, everything that's in the New Testament, we see is penned by the Holy Spirit. It's penned, it's breathed, it's God breathed. So when we read the scriptures, it's not just the words that I highlighted in red. You know, when I first obeyed the gospel, I knew that those words that were read in my Bible was when Jesus was speaking. But then I realized that when the apostles were speaking, they were really speaking the intentions and the thoughts and the mind of God, because they were speaking by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everything that's in the New Testament is the voice, intentions, will of God. How grateful should we be that we have the New Testament, that we have the scriptures to lead us and guide us, because we aren't wise enough to guide ourselves. We aren't wise enough to please ourselves. That's what drawn me so much to the scriptures, because I tried it by myself. I tried to please God by my own knowledge, by my own ability, and I failed time after time. And then I realized, God, why would I go ahead and reinvent the wheel when you already gave me everything that you wanted me to do to be pleasing to you, and all I have to do is do it. Thank you, God. You're such a grateful, you're such a merciful, you're such a loving God. You care about us, you care about me more than I care about myself, and you want the best for me even when I don't want the best for myself. The things that he asks us to do, they're not a burden. They are a blessing. If we read the Bible enough, we will begin to understand what Jesus wants of us. We will be able to understand the voices that we are hearing. We're going to be tempted in this world, and that's okay. You're going to be tempted by your friends. Maybe you have friends in this world that aren't spiritual minded, that aren't Christians, and that's okay. But it's not okay to let those friends who aren't Christians influence you or tempt you to do things that are not pleasing to God. I mean, the world is all around us, everywhere we go. It's in the school, it's on social media. I mean, you can have a Facebook, an Instagram, a Twitter, a TikTok account with the best intentions. But the more you scroll, the more you're going to see. And those things that you see, they're not always going to be godly. And if you aren't able to filter out the difference, you're going to think that those are the things that you should do. In all actuality, they're not. The world's going to tell you, hey, come join us. Be like me. You see the way that we dress? You see the videos that we make? You see how many likes that we have? Hey, come join us. If you do this, then you can be like us. But is that voice a voice that we read from the scripture? Well, the answer is no. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So when you have a voice that tells you the world is your friend, or to become best buds with a friend, then that's a voice of the enemy, because the scripture clearly says, whoever makes himself a friend with the world is an enemy of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We have to be able to realize those things. And what's great about reading the Word is that the more that you immerse yourself in it, the more that you will be able to see things clearly in those situations that you're in. Because you need the Word in those situations. And when the Word comes to you in those times, and whenever you're experiencing difficult situations, you should go ahead and obey the Word right then and there. Not reason with yourself and think, well, did God really say that? Or does this really apply to my situation? Every time that I've thought in that way, in that manner, when I've been in a tough situation and I begin to reason with myself, with the voice of God, I ended up falling. Because God's Word is black and white. We don't have to reason with it. Once we understand it, once we obey it, that's what God wants us to do. And again, the more that we read, the more that we study, the things that weren't so clear, they will become clear. If I go back to my calculus class, the reason why I was taking calculus is because I was trying to become a math teacher. So I had to pass the math test. I had took the test 2 times prior to me taking calculus. And when I finished my calculus course, I went back and I took the test. And then when I began to look over the things that I once did not know, they were clear to me. Because I didn't understand calculus before I took the test. But then I was able to see, oh, okay, well, I know what these things are now. I get it. I understand it. That's the same thing with the Word of God. The more we study it, the more we read it, the more we will understand it. We will be tempted. And in those times of temptation, the enemy wants us to understand or wants us to think that there's no way out. To think that every single time I'm tempted that I'm just going to fall, that I can't get out of this. But is that what God says? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God says there's a way out of that temptation. The enemy says there is no way out of this temptation. That this temptation, these are your desires, this is what you want, so you might as well go ahead and fall. You enjoy it, you like it, and I gave it to you, so just go ahead and take it. But God says take the way out. The enemy will tell you that every single religion on this world is right. That it doesn't matter how you worship me. That, you know, it's okay for you to have different types of instruments in the church. It's okay for you to observe the Lord's Supper with individual cups. It's okay for you not even to go to services. But is that what we read from the scriptures? No. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we read that the church belongs to Jesus. And it says, and I also said to you that you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So we see that the church belongs to Jesus. Therefore, any other institution that is not belonging to Jesus is not where we should be a part of, because those are just distortions of the one true church. You say, well, why should I listen to the voice of Jesus? John chapter 14, verse 6 says, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A beautiful passage again. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you are his sheep, then you need to listen to him, because he is the truth. And if you are trying to get to God, you must go through Jesus. Again, he will never lie. He will never deceive. He will never distort. He's going to give you everything that you need. The scripture tells us that it provides us with everything that we need to become a useful servant of God. So you need to listen to the voice of Jesus, because ultimately that's the only way that we're going to make it to heaven. That's the only way that we're going to overcome the temptations, the trials, the different types of situations, circumstances that are in our life. At the end of the day, it's your knowledge and your ability to handle the Word of God that's going to matter. It's not your parents' ability, the way that they handle the Word of God. It's not the evangelist's ability that matters. It's your ability that matters. Because you're not always going to be under the roof of your parents. You're not always going to be under the guidance of people who care about you. Maybe you go off to college. And when you go off to college, if you're alone, if you're surrounded by people who don't know God, who don't believe in God, they're not going to care about your relationship with God. They're not going to care about how you interact with God. They won't. But you can still have the Word of God with you. You can still carry it. You can still hold his banner high. You can still represent him well if you are hearing his voice. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 41. We won't read all these passages, but we'll start at verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his throne, his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. What a great blessing for those sheep, because those sheep are going to inherit the kingdom that Jesus went away to prepare. You see, us being sheep is a great blessing. If we go back to John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. Then it goes on to say, I know them. If you are his sheep, he knows you. It goes on to say, and they follow me. So it's not enough just to hear the voice of God. I mean, that's where it starts. But this goes on to tell us that the sheep not only hear, they follow. I mean, how beneficial would a sheep be if they heard the voice but they didn't follow it, but they didn't obey it? What would be the purpose? That's the purpose with us. If we know what Jesus wants us to do, if we have immersed ourselves in Scripture and we're able to identify his voice, but we fail to obey him, Scripture tells us that we are deceiving ourselves. It says that we are to be hearers of the word, not merely doers of the word, not merely just hearers. If we go on and read that passage, we see what happens to the goats in that passage. In verse 41, it says, then he will also say to those on his left hand, and remember, the goats were on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The choice is ours. Every single day we wake up, we have a choice to make. Whose voice will we listen to? Hopefully we'll understand that it's Jesus' voice that we need to hear. Hopefully we'll understand that if we have friends who are not Christians, if we have family members who are not Christians, if we have other sources that are presenting information to us that is not godly, that is not correct according to Scriptures, that we won't listen to it, that we won't give it the time of day. Hopefully we will understand how valuable the voice of Jesus is. I believe that each and every single one of us has the ability to understand the Word of God. It just takes time. It takes a constant effort. But it's worth it. at the end of the day, us being better servants for Jesus while we are here, us being better servants for our family, us being better servants for the community, going out and impacting the world, letting our light shine in a dark world, is worth it. But none of this is done in and of ourselves. This is all done through Jesus. This is all done through His Word. This is all done by us reading, studying, and letting Him guide us. I pray that each one of us would strive to be more in tune with the voice of Jesus. Pray that we will understand that following Jesus isn't like the way that we follow on social media. You know how we can click the follow button but not really do or follow that person? Following Jesus is not that same way. It's not an easy follow button. It's not something that you just click one day and then never come back to again. To follow Him fully is to follow His footsteps every single day. Every single breath that He blessed us with, we dedicate it back to Him. Because again, it belongs to Him. He died for us. He bought us with a price. I mean, when you think about Jesus dying for us, being crucified for sins that He never committed but what we did, now providing us with guidance, we know that the information, the guidance, the direction that He provides us is for our best benefit. And we would be fools if we fail to hear or if we ignored it.